The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Daf Yud Aleph. Today's daf is being studied the Adon Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihanu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Refuah Shelema Eliyahu Hayim ben Shafia Sofia. Enna Refanalo betoch she'ar chole amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Aleph Amud Rishon. And we are beginning on the third line. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav. Kol amarchiv atzmo b'shne le'avon, nitzol memita mishuna. Anybody that starves himself during the years of famine will be saved from mita mishuna, from a strange death, a not normal death. That she says, mita mishuna met beherev. וברעב וכל מיטה שאינה בידי מלאך המוות כדרך כל אדם על מיטתו. She's any death that's not a death in his sleep, in his bed, is considered מיטה משונה. He dies of famine or dies of a sword or any other type of situation. So the Gemara says in the Zechut that a person is מרעיב עצמו, meaning he empathizes with his brethren. There's a famine somewhere, he has food. But because he wants to empathize with his brethren that are starving, so he also limits his consumption, so he gets saved. The pasuk is in Iyov, Berav Padecha Mimavet. In the famine, I redeemed you from death. So the Gemara says, if it was referring to that he's going to be saved from famine, it should have said Mira'av Mivaile. It should say Mira'av Padecha Bira'av. That's basically the pasuk would say. From a famine you will be saved in a famine. So the pasuk's not referring to that you're gonna be saved from famine. Ela hakikamar. Bishar shimariv atzmo bishnere avon in the zechut. That he starves himself. In the years of famine, nitzol mimita mishuna. He will be saved from mita mishuna. That she says, "Beskar shemitzayir atzmo kish Yisrael besar." That's the key point over here. When Am Yisrael's in Sa'ar, and he also commiserates with them, so Bnei Olam is going to save him as well from this. Now, so again, if the pasuk meant that God's going to save him from the Yisurim of Ra'av in the time of Ra'av, that's what the pasuk was coming. Again, it would have said, Mira'av, from a famine, Padecha, God will save you, Bara'av, at the time that there's a famine. Ella, we see the pasuk, yeah, Bira'av, Mira'av. No. Bira'av, okay, Bira'av, Padecha, Mira'av, fine. In a famine, God will save you from the famine, fine. But the point is that that's not what the pasuk is saying. It's saying mira'a u'bira'a padecha mimavet. So it means the Gemara Doresh over here that in a ra'av God's going to save you from death, meaning when you starve and starve yourself at a time of famine, even when you have food, because Am Yisrael is suffering somewhere else, so Borei Olam will save that person from mita mishuna. What exactly is the mida keneged mida that's working over here? So the Mefarshim explain like this. If I should explain like this, mikivan shemitgaber al tibo, since he overcomes his natural desire to eat, umitzair atzmo bezman shelo yatzarik letzair. So therefore, afateva ino sholet bo. So too, the teva means teva, it means occurrences, is not going to affect him. He's not going to get hit by a car. He's not going to get, the different occurrences that take place in life. He'll have a death by the Malach HaMavet, which Rashi calls that, which is on his bed. Every death, obviously, is Malach HaMavet, but some of them are more natural than others. And if it will be saved from what's called Mita Mishuna. Amar Reish Lakish. Next statement. Asur le'adam l'shamesh mitato b'shnei re'avon. A person really is forbidden to have marital relations during the time of famine. Rashi says, "The sarich adam denhog tsar be'asmo." Again, because the person has to commiserate with his brethren. The Jewish people are suffering, So therefore, Bizman Shiyesh Sa'ar Ba'olam, so he has to betzayir himself. Shnei Amar, what's the proof of this? Ul Yosef Yulad Shnei Banim Beterem Tavo Shenat Ra'av. The Pasuk says that Yosef had his children prior to the Ra'av. So why does the Pasuk have to tell us that he had prior to the Ra'av? To tell us that what? That during the Ra'av itself, he refrained. Look at the top Tosfot. אסור לאדם לשמש מיטתו בשני רעבון, ואם תאמר, הרי יוכבת נולדה בין החומות, ואותו העת את רעביה, which means, it seems to be Levi, he had יוכבת, when they were going down to Mitzrayim. At that time over there, there was a famine in Eretz Canaan. And therefore, how did Levi have יוכבת בין החומות, when they came down to Egypt, if that was a time of famine, ועל כורחך שמשו מיטותיהם בשני רעבון. For sure, that means Levi had relation during the time of famine. V'yesh lomar delekul ama lo havi asur. Really, it's not asur to everybody. Ela mishrotzid lenhog atzmo b'chasidut. This is a nyan of chasidut over here. V'yosef lo shimesh aval she'ar ben adam shimshu. So yeah, he wants to come along and say it's a nyan of chasidut tosfot. That means comes out. It was Yosef acted like a chasid, and Levi didn't act like a chasid. Hard to understand this all because the Torah says regarding Levi Amar to Mecha Ve'urecha Leish Hasidecha. So therefore, I mean, Yosef, the Levi didn't act like a Hasid. So comes the other Ishonim and they want to answer. You have the Ritba. They have the Rav in Canaan. So he explained the Ritba. I want to say like this, that there is an Isur Gamur. Not like Tosafot. There is Yisud Gamur to have relations during Shnat Le'avon. However, that's only when it's a Ra'av of Yisrael. However, when it's a Ra'av of the Nukhrim, you really don't have to be Mitzta'ir. So therefore, Yosef, he thought that his family was suffering Ra'av back in Canaan. So therefore, he didn't know they had food. He thought that they were suffering, so therefore he refrained from having Tashmish because of his brothers. However, Levi, he had the food. They know their family had food. So therefore, there was no Inyan for him to abstain from the Tashmish. That's the Ritba. The Maharsha wants to explain the words of the Tosafot over here, and he says like this to Maharsha, that really, it's Asur Gamur, again. So Yosef, it was really permissible, because he didn't nekayem mitzvah periyah v'ribyah. The Gemara is going to say now, if you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of having children yet, so therefore you're really able to have during the time of Re'avon. And still, he was mahmir on himself, mebidat chasidut. Now Levi also didn't nekayem Periyah v'ribyah yet. He didn't mekayem this chasidut. So now already it's Yosef's chasidut. Why? Really it's asur min adin. But it's mutar for Yosef, technically, because of the din of periyah v'ribyah. So Yosef still was mahmir on himself, and he didn't have during the Shnat Le'avon, where Levi did not have children, periyah v'ribyah I mean, and therefore he allowed himself to, so it wasn't a breach in any chasidut over here. He wasn't noeg in himself, but he didn't make any sur over. He did what was really permissible. And that's the next Gemara. Tana, hasuche banim, somebody that's hasuk banim, that doesn't have children. Rashi says, hasere banim, that means lacking children. Rashi says, shelo kiyem mitzvah periyah v'ribyah, mishameshim mitoteihem b'shnei re'avon.
Moshe Rabbeinu had to come save the people.
That was the best exception that was made. Correct. The Gemara Yibamot over here holds the subject over here when we say Hasuche Banim, that they're permissible to have a Tashmish during Shnei Re'avon. How? What's the situation over here? So someone is saying it's Dafka Mishe'en Lo Banim Klal. We don't have children at all. But if he has a son or a daughter, even though technically he didn't fulfill Periyah v'ribyah per se, according to Beit Hillel, it's going to be still Asus. That's really a machloket amongst the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim also want to say that you can have the Tashmish until she conceives, in that case over there. And also they want to say that Lil Tebilaz Mutar for everybody. Even people that have children, even in the times of Shnei Re'avon. And some want to say that which we said Hasuche Banim is only on Lil Tevilah, because that's when usually the lady conceives. So you have different shittot over here, exactly what the extent of Hasuk Habanim. Is it only no children at all, or is it actually the mitzvah Periyah V'Ribiyah? And when exactly is the heter? Is it always until she conceives, or is it dafka on the Lil Tevilah? Tar Rabbanan, Bismat Yisrael Shurim Besar, when the Jewish people are Betsar, for example, they're going through a series of fasts because of, let's say, there's no rain and things like that. Upiresh Yahad Mehen, and one of the people from the Sibur separates himself from the Sibur. For example, he doesn't fast with the Sibur. He's doing his own thing. There's two angels that escort a person. The Pasuk says, Ki malachav yisavelach ishmorcha, that there's angels, it seems, that walk with a person to protect them. So those two angels, manihin lo yedehem al rosho, they place their hands on the guy's head, ve'omrim, peloni ze, shepiresh v'na sibur, this fellow that separated himself from the sibur in the time of sorrow, al yireh b'nechamat sibur, so he will not see and benefit from the nechamah, he will not be around for the consolation, which means by the time this tsa'ar passes, this guy's not going to be around anymore. Which means, let's say there was a drought or something like that, he didn't fast, so he's not going to make it to the end. He will not see the nechama, he will not see the good times, because he did not share in the bad times. Tanya Idach, we have a braita, similar, another braita. Bismacha, Sibur Shorim Betza'ar. Sibur is involved in Sa'ar. Al Yomar Adam. Person should not say, Elech Lebeti, I go to my house, Ve'ochad, Ve'eshte, Ve'shalom Alecha Nafshi. Say, peace be unto me. V'moseken, if he does that, Allah v'katuv omer, v'hine sason v'simcha, harog bakar v'shachot son, achol basar v'shtot yayin, achol v'shato, ki mahar namut. A person has an attitude and says, eat and be merry today, but tomorrow we shall die. Maketi batrei, what does it say regarding this fellow? V'negle be'oznei Hashem sorot im yechupar, ha'avon hazeh lachem ad, temutun. Means this person with that attitude, he's not going to get kapara for this sin until his death, which means he's going to have to die because of it. Adkan midat. This is the.
People say in.
Yes. Adkan midat benonim. This is talking about a benoni guy. A benoni guy who is not a rasha gamur. He has averot, he has mitzvot. This guy's not a bad guy, as the next guy we're going to talk about. Because this guy over here at least recognizes ki mahar namut. I mean, he knows the consequences of his actions. He believes in what the Hakamim say. He just says, listen, I'm not going to enjoy myself, and whatever's going to happen tomorrow is going to happen tomorrow, but eat and be merry today. So at least this guy, we call him a Benoni. However, what's the Resha'im? Avad midat Resha'im maketiv. What's the Pasuk say? I'll give you the full Pasuk. Etayu. Let's come together. Let's take wine. The nisbea shechar, and we'll drink, intoxicating beverages. And we'll do it as well tomorrow. Jeez, this guy over here is worse because he doesn't believe he's going to die even. The same party we're making today, we'll do it again the next day. That's right, Rasha. What does it say after regarding this fellow? Hatzadik avad. The tzaddik passes on. The tzaddik is lost. Ve'en isam aliv, and nobody pays attention. Ki mepene hara'a ne'esaf ha'tzaddik, that before the impeding ra'a comes, God takes away the tzaddikim, because He's going to bring chas v'shalom a catastrophe to the world. So when the tzaddik passes away, ki mepene hara'a, before the ra'a is going to come, they suffer sadiq, and that's what's going to happen to these the shaim over here. They're going to suffer great chas v'shalom catastrophe as a result of their behavior. As she says, mepenesh shelo yitzta'er hu bera'a, because this fellow over here was not mitzta'er in the ra'a of the people. Ve'achar shehi gezera melefanav, and that's going to be the gezera in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lishna harina ki mepene hara'a ne'esaf ha'sadik, mepene ra'ot shel elu, because of the bad of these people, hu ne'esaf, God takes away the sadik, shenekadosh baruch hu rotzeh shibekesh alehem rahamim, God doesn't want the tzaddik to be around, that the tzaddik will pray for these guys. So because of their evil, God is going to take away the tzaddikim, so that we know want to request mercy for these Rishayim, and therefore we're going to have all Midat Tadin. They're not going to have any anybody to save them. And the first explanation is that before the Gezerah comes, Mipenei Hara'ah, before the impeding Gezerah comes, God will take the Tzaddik, so the Rasha now dies alone, and not going to have any Tzaddikim that have to suffer with him. But the point is, these people are going to have a it's not even a kapara. The first one, it says that they have a kapara. It seems these people over here is not going to even be an atonement. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, further, Ela. Yitza'ir adam im sibur. A person is supposed to commiserate and empathize and feel the pain with the sibur. Shechen matzinu b'Moshe Rabbeinu shitzi'ir atzmo im sibur. How do you see Moshe Rabbeinu's mitza'ir himself with the sibur? Shene'emar videh Moshe kebedim. During the war when the Jewish people were fighting Amalek, it says Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu's hands became heavy. Ve'yikhu eben ve'yasimu tahtav ve'yeshev aleha. So they brought Moshe Rabbeinu a rock, and he sat on the rock. V'chido ayah lo leMoshe kar achat or keset achat. Well, they couldn't get Moshe Rabbeinu a pillow or a keset, like a chair or a couch. L'shev adeha elakach amar Moshe hu'il v'Yisrael shirim betzar afani yeyeh ma'im betzar. And the Jewish people are fighting a war. There's no time now to sit on a comfortable couch or a chair. So therefore, he says, I will be with Sa'ar, with them also. V'chol ha-mitza'ir atzmoy ma-sibur, zocheh v'ro'eh ben hamat sibur. On the flip side, anybody that's mitza'ir himself with the sibur will merit to see the hamat sibur, the consolation of the sibur, meaning they'll see the trouble pass. V'shemi yomar adam. A person might say to himself, mi me'id bi? Who's going to testify? Who knows? Which means everybody else is fasting. This guy's at home eating, enjoying himself. Guy might say, who's going to testify against me? Who knows? So the Gemara says, you know who the witnesses are going to be? Abnei beto shel Adam. The stones of his wall, meaning in his house, the stones themselves are going to come up and testify what they saw this fellow do. V'korot beto shel Adam mi'idim bo. The korot, the beams of his house. So even if a person's in private, the walls have eyes, as they say. And therefore, the walls themselves, the beams, are going to come up to Shamayim after 120 and testify again. Shnei Emar. Ki even mikir tzak, because the stone from the wall will scream. Vechafis me'etz ya'anena. Kapis is half a brick. It seems that used to have a style of building. They used to have wood like beams, and in between the wood beams, like half bricks, they would have called the kapis. So the kapis also is going to answer, meaning in the shamayim. And she says kapis hatzile ben avregilim titab ben shtein nitbechea aitzim. They're placed like a half brick style between the two rows of wood. The bear be shela ami shne malachei asheret melavim lo adam hem me'idim alav shne'emar ki malachei yisavelach, which means the two angels, as we learned, that escort a person to protect him, they are going to testify against him. La'atid davo the pchidka omer nishmato shel adam hi me'ida alav. The person's soul, his neshama itself, is going to testify against him. Shnei emar, mishochevet hekecha. The one that rests in your bosom. Who's the one that rests in your bosom? The neshama. Mishochevet hekecha. And therefore, shemot petchepicha. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Because what's coming out of your mouth is being recorded by the neshama. And therefore, you say, who heard me? Nobody knows what I said. And mishochevet hekecha knows. And therefore, it's going to come and testify against you. The actual limbs, the bones of the body that were involved in the sin itself, they're going to come up and incriminate the person. You body, you limbs, you are my witnesses, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes the Gemara and continues.
Atim is plural. It's referring to all the limbs of a person's body. Pasuk says, El emuna ve'en avil. Now, this Gemara over here is going to discuss the age-old question of why sometimes we see that tzaddikim, they suffer, and other times we see that the sha'im, that they prosper. Tzaddik ve'ra'lo, rasha ve'tovlo. So the Gemara now analyzes it based on these pesukim. El emuna, God is a truthful, honest, loyal, ve'en avil. There is no iniquity, there is no wrong or perversion of justice where God is. El emuna, where do we see the emuna, the trust and the truthfulness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's justice? Keshem shenifra'im min ha'resha'im la'olam abba. Just like the resha'im are going to get punished la'olam abba. Afidu ha'avera kala. Even on a small, small minor sin, which means God's not going to let them off anything. You don't think that the resha'im, once they were on the resha'im level, they only get punished for the great crimes. No, the judgment is meticulous. They're going to get judged even on avera kala in olam abba, she'osin, that they did. Kach nifra'in min ha'tzaddikim be'olam hazeh al avera kala she'osin. Which means so too the tzaddikim in olam hazeh get punished even for the smallest sin that they commit. And therefore the Gemara is opting and saying here that it's possible that a tzaddik will suffer in this world because God is punishing him for an avera kala. In tzaddik ba'ar is ha'shed ya'aseh tov v'lo ya'ata. Very rarely do we find that you have a tzaddik that doesn't commit any sins. Even the greatest tzaddik, he has a small sin. And therefore, Borei Olam, just like he punishes the resha'im for their small sins in Olam Abba, he will punish the tzaddikim also for their small sins in Olam Hazeh. Ve'en avil. There's no iniquity. Keshem shem meshalmim sachar l'tzaddikim le'olam abba afidu al mitzvah kala she'osin. Kach meshalmim sachar l'resha'im ba'olam hazeh afidu al mitzvah kala she'osin. Just like La'ati Davo, Borei Olam is going to reward the tzaddikim in Olam Abba, even for the smallest mitzvah that they fulfilled. Again, don't think that God's just going to reward them generally. No, it's meticulous. Even the smallest mitzvah that the tzaddik fulfilled, there's going to be sakar for it. Well, there's no double standard. That means the rasha in this world also is going to be rewarded, even for the smallest mitzvah that he fulfilled. And therefore, sometimes you see a situation of rasha v'tovlo. You see a rasha that's having a good life because he's getting paid back for the smallest mitzvah that he fulfilled in his life. V'yasharu. V'yashar means God is yashar, literally straight. So comes Gemara and says, what does this mean? Melamed. I'm reading the Masoret HaShas. Melamed shebishat betirato shel adam lebet olamo. When a person passes on to his world, kol mu'asav, all his deeds nifratin lefanav, they become itemized in front of him. Which is all his deeds come in front of him one by one. Ve'omrim lo, and they ask the person, kach ve'kach asita, or they tell him, kach ve'kach asita b'mkom ploni b'yom ploni. Is it so that you committed this transgression on this day at that place? Was that you? The Omer, and he's going to say, "In, yes." The Omerim lo hatom. Okay, sign the document over here that was indeed you. The hotem, and he signs. Shene emar biyad kol adam yachtom velo od ela shematzdik alav etadin. He comes along, the fellow, and he's going to justify the deen against him. He's going to say, whatever they do to me, they're right, because I'm guilty. Jeez, they're going to admit guilt. Ve'omed la'em, he's going to say to the bet deen, yafeh dantuni, you judged me correctly. L'kayim mashen e'mar, ne'ma'an tetzdak bedovrecha. Rashi says, tzaddik v'yashar, matzdik ad-deen ala tzaddikim, לפרוע מהם, ועושה טובה וישות מרשעים, לפרוע כל סקותם בעולם הזה, כדי לתורדן. So that she just explains to us why God punishes the tzaddikim in this world. It's in order to give them olam haba straight. And why God rewards the rishaim in this world, כדי לתורדן. In order to remove them from any benefit from olam haba. That's part of the justice as well. That the rasha gets a good existence here, the Shamedama Adad, to be eternally destroyed over there. Next Rashi, Biyad Kol Adam Yachtom, Kotev Maaseh Kol Adam Umachtim, and he signs Yad Kol Adam Maasav. Right, you have to sign off on. Mat Tastak Bedovrecha, Shu Mazdik Alav Bedovrecha Shata Mareh. No, on the words that Borei Olam is going to show him, meaning on the paper of all the sins, Bedovrecha, in the subject, he's going to sign off and say, Yafir Dantuni, that whatever you have done to me, it is justified. Okay, now we go into a new topic. We go into a topic over here of an individual fasting. How does the Gemara look at somebody that wants to accept upon himself a Tani Chahid, a voluntary fast? Do we look at voluntary fasting as a positive, as a good thing, or do we look at it as a negative? The Gemara says, Amar Shemuel, Kol HaYoshev B'Ta'anit. Anybody that sits in fast, Nikra Chote, is considered a sinner. Now, why is he considered a sinner? Savar ki haitana. He's following the opinion that says, Detanya, Rabbi Elazar, Kefar, Rabbi Omer. Matan Mudomar. What does this pasuk say by the Nazir? Now, again, a Nazir is somebody that accepts upon himself restrictions not to drink wine, not to have grapes, any derivatives of these items, and he accepts upon himself not to cut his hair, and also not to metameh to metim. Okay, that's the Nazir. So it says, let's say in the event a Nazir came in contact with a corpse, so it has to be a Qurban. So the Pasuk says, V'chiper alav ma'asher chata ala nefesh. He'll have to be a Qurban of atonement for the sin that he did ala nefesh. Now, the Gemara says, V'chiper ezer nefesh chata. By becoming contaminated, he didn't make a sin with the nefesh. Ala nefesh asher chata sounds like he killed somebody. So he has to be kapara for the sin that he made ala nefesh. So the Gemara says, what nefesh exactly did he make a sin with? Yeah, he came in contact with a corpse, but that's how he made a sin with the nefesh? What is this referring to? So the Gemara says, Ela shitzi'er atzmo min hayayin. Yeah, you know whose nefesh he sinned with? His own nefesh. Because he abstained from drinking wine. And therefore he caused himself tsa'ar. So the mere fact, every Nazir is guilty according to this. That really a guy who accepts upon himself a vow to abstain from drinking wine, you need kapara for that. Because the Torah says you're allowed to drink wine. So what are you self-inflicting yourself all of a sudden now, and you're taking away a permissible item? So the Gemara says, "V'halo devarim kal v'homer." Uma zeh shelot tzi'ed atzmo ela min hayayin nikrachot. If this guy, he didn't accept upon himself a fast. He just accepted upon himself an abstination against wine, and still the Torah calls him a sinner. Hametzayir atzmo mikol davar v'davar al had kama v'kama. Although also a person accepts upon himself an abstention from eating in totality, certainly he's going to be considered a sinner. So that's the opinion of Shmuel. He makes a kal v'chomer from a Nazir. And why is the Nazir called the Chote? Why? Because he refrained himself from one permissible item in this world, wine. Kal v'chomer, a person that abstains himself from all food in general, certainly is going to be considered a sinner. So comes the Gemara and says, why? Because you're punishing your body. Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Nikra Kadosh. To the other spectrum, side of the spectrum. Rabbi Elazar says, a fellow that accepts upon himself a ta'anit is actually considered holy. Shneimar, Kadosh Yehyeh Gadel Pera Se'ar Rosho. Which means the one that grows his hair, that's the Nazir, is going to be considered what? Kadosh. Uma ze shelo tzi'ir atzmo. Ela medavar echad nikra kadosh hametzair atzmo mikol davar alahat kama vekama. If a guy only abstains from wine, and the Torah calls him kadosh, that's the Nazir. This fellow that abstained from everything, from all food, kal v'chomer is considered kadosh. So both rabbis learn from the same source. The Nazir, is he a chote or is he a kadosh? Ah, v'lishmuel ha'ikri kadosh. What does Shmuel do with the pasuk of kadosh? Ha'hu agidul perakai. No, that's going on the hair. I mean, you should know, the Nazir's hair is kadosh. When he cuts it, you have to treat it with kedusha, meaning it is asur b'hana'a. You cannot benefit from his hair. Not talking about the guy himself. Kadosh, the perah, the hair that he has. Well, Rabbi Elazar, ha'nikra chote. Oh, but what does Rabbi Elazar do with the pasuk of Shmuel? The pasuk says, v'chiper alav me'asher chata ala nefesh. So the Gemara says, hahu desa'ib nefshe. Yeah, that's about a specific nazir. That's about the guy that contaminated himself. Which means, since he contaminated himself with the nefesh, he touched a corpse, so v'chiper alav ala nefesh. Which means on the nefesh that he touched, because he came in contact with a corpse, so therefore he needs kapara. But a regular nazir that didn't come in contact with a corpse, he's kadosh. Therefore, do not learn it v'chiper ala nefesh. It's talking about himself. No, it's referring to the one that he was not careful, and that's why he became tameh, and that's why he needs kapara. Which opinion we'll see now? Comes the Gemara and says, "Umiyama Rabbi Elazar Acher." Did Rabbi Elazar truly say that the fellow that fasts is considered kadosh? Ve'ha'amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, "Le'olam yamud adam atzmo." A person should analyze himself, or estimate himself, or look at himself. Ki ilu kadosh sharui. Betoch me'av, he has to look at himself as if there's kadosh that is resting in his intestines. What does that mean? As she says, ki'ilu kol me'av kadosh. Look at your intestines, meaning your stomach, for example. Look at it as if it is holy. Ve'asu lehachishan, and therefore you're not allowed to weaken them. Ve'hachi mashman, give my quotes of pasuk she'emar bekirbecha kadosh. Now, literally, we had this pasuk earlier, bekirbecha kadosh, that God says that until your bekirbecha in your midst in Jerusalem of below, there's going to be kedusha. God says, I'm not going to enter Jerusalem of above. Because God commiserates with his people as well. God says, I'm not going to enter Yerushalayim shel ma'ala until bekirbecha kadosh, until Jerusalem shel mata is sanctified. But here the Gemara is giving a play on the words, bekirbecha kadosh. Bekirbecha is your kerabayim, your intestines. You should look at your intestines as if what? They are kadosh. And therefore, what? Don't fast. Then who made this statement? Rabbi Elazar. So make up your mind. You're the one that just said that a person who fasts is considered kadosh. Now you tell me, no, you have to look at your intestines, that they're kadosh, that we shouldn't strain them. You shouldn't strain them in a fast. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, ki'ilu kol me'av kadosh, ואסור להכחישן, דאחי משמע בקרבך קדוש, כלומר, דאסור לטענות, בקרבך קדוש לשם נקרא קדריש, בשביל שקדוש שרוי בצער, because הקדוש ברוך הוא מצער himself, לא אבוא בעיר של מעלה, עד שבני ירושלים של מטה. I know it was a simple explanation. I'm not going to go to Yerushalayim in heaven until Yerushalayim on earth is established. Urmiza be'alma. And this is the remez when it comes to bekirbecha kadosh, that your intestines are holy. That she actually says, ki'ilu kadosh ha'kadosh baruch hu. He says, you should animal make it as if ha'kadosh baruch hu is in your intestines. Ad kadeh kach. So the Gemara answers, la kashya. Ha de matzel et sa'ure nafshe. Ha de lo matzel et sa'ure nafshe. Depends. If he's able to handle it, or he's not able to handle it. If his body is strong enough, he's able to endure the fast, then already you're considered kadosh. But if you can't handle it, then already you're punishing yourself. Then already it's not proper. So even the Rabbi Elazar concedes that a person that gets, let's say, sick, or is unable to, you know, fast because it causes him to become unhealthy because of it, as a result of it, then he agrees. Then already not supposed to mitaneh. Then already you have to look as if kadosh is betoch me'aycha, and you have to not weaken it. But if a person can't handle it, so then already it's considered praiseworthy. Comes the Gemara continues. Lishtakish. Lishtakish comes along and says, Nikra Hasid. He's called a Hasid. Shene Emar Gomel Nafsho Ish Hasid. Ve'ocher She'ero Akzar. Now, is this, who's called a Hasid? The one that fasts or the one that doesn't fast? So let's read Rashi. Nikra Hasid. Hamit'aneh. Simple, the one that fasts. It's Hasid Dikhtiv. Gomel Nafsho Ish Hasid. Now, what does the word Gomel mean? If you remember in the Torah, when a child is weaned off his mother, right? It's called v'yigamal, meaning he abstains now from the milk of his mother. So gomel nafsho, one that abstains himself, is gomel nafsho, he refrains, meaning refrains from what? From eating. Ish hasid. He's considered what? A hasid. So that she says, mafrish atzmo mi ma'akal u'mishne. Kemo b'yom gamel et Yitzhak. Iname gomel lashon tigmol. Or we can say, oh, he pays. Tigmol is also to pay. Like gomel hasadim tobim. Where you pay, gomel nafsho. He gives his soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you give your body and soul over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You fast. So therefore, it's considered what? Ish hasid. And what does the end of the pasuk say? Ve'ocher she'ero achzar. Hametane u'machish besaron nekrea achzar. But on the other side, that if a person hurts himself by fasting, ocher nafsho, ocher besaro, achzar. Anyway, it's considered cruel. So it seems the shtakish is also saying the same thing as the hidut that we made in the Bir Azar. Had the matzeh letzore nafsheh, had the lo matzeh letzore nafsheh. If you're able to mitzah it yourself, already he's calling him hasid. It was the first rabbi called him kadosh, he calls him hasid. However, if you're not able to fast, and you fast nonetheless, then already you're punishing your body, and you're hurting yourself, that already is called, according to Rashi, and the pasuk is calling him an achzar. Look at the second Tosafot over here on the Amud Bet. Gomel nafsho. Now we learned that Rashi, gomel nafsho ish hasid, that's somebody that does fast. It's called the hasid, right? Look at Tosafot. Pirush shegomel hesed lenafsho she'eno mitane nekra hasid. So Tosfot has a totally different understanding of Evrish Takish. He said the exact opposite. Gomel nafsho, guy does a favor to his body. How do you do a favor to your body? You eat. And then ish hasid, that's considered already a hasid. And therefore, according to Tosafot, the whole pasuk is really saying the same point. One that eats is called a hasid. Ve'ocher besaro. Somebody that abstains from eating, achzar. He's considered a cruel person. That's a again a fantastic machloket between the Shi and the Tosafot. Now let's continue. Amar Rav Sheshat. Rav Sheshat says, Hai bar berav tiyativ betanita. That's a Talmid Yeshiva, Yeshiva student, that decides he wants a fast. Lichul kalba leshirute. Let the dog eat his se'uda. Which means, this is not considered a beneficial fast. We look at it as if the reason why he didn't eat is because the dog ate his meal. Meaning, we don't give him any credit. As if we say, oh, the guy starved himself because the dog ate his se'uda that day. He didn't have anything to eat. Now, what's the logic why we're considering it a problem like that? So some want to say that's talking about, again, a yeshiva student that studies Torah, and he's unable to withstand the fast. And therefore, according to this, what's going to end up happening? He's not going to be able to learn with the proper strength that he would normally be able to do. And therefore, what are you doing? It really, it's not proper. It's not acceptable. Now, the Gemara goes on a different point for a moment. It's going to come back to this. It's different Gemara than this Gemara, because here the Gemara jumps to a different statement, totally unrelated. And it's going to come back to this issue. The Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Bar Abba, En ta'anit sibur bebabel, ela tash'a be'av bilvad. It's a different point. Regarding ta'anit sibur, public fasts in Babel, the only public fast they did in Babel was tash'a be'av. Tanit Sibur means a Tanit that has all the Humrot. Meaning, they start from the evening, they're not to bathe, no anointing yourself, no leather shoes. That's considered the stringency of Tanit Sibur. So the only Tanit Sibur, Midrabanan, of course. I'm not talking about Yom Kippur. The only Tanit Sibur would be Tisha B'Av. What does the Gemara mean to say? Since in Bavir there was a lot of rain. Swampy. It was a swampy area, so you never had issues of rain fests. Right, there were no droughts. Like in Eretz Yisrael, they would have Tanit Sibur. They would call the fast. The Yehidi would fast, and if by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the people would fast. So it's just coming to say that in Bavel, basically the only fast was Tisha B'Av. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "En Tanit Sibur beBavel, לעניין איסורי חומרי תענית אמר בייל למלטם, all these stringencies of a תענית שהיו נוהגים בו כן אבלות שהיו אוכלים מבועג'ום ועשו מנהל צדל אלא תשעה באב בלבד. Now when it says בבל, so some want to learn that this is not only בבל, but this is talking about all areas according to Rashi at least that are like בבל, that are not subject to these type of taniyot because they have sufficient rain. So it comes out according to the Ramban asks the question, he says, comes out that if you have a country that's not like Bavel, that needs rain, and the Chanabi would have to, you know, call these drought fests, and you would make a regular tanit zibur. Because that's the reason of Rashi, that only in Bavel, no, because it's a rainy and it's an irrigated area, so therefore all the areas that are similar to Bavel, but an area that's not similar to Bavel, Nechrab will be subject to these taniyot. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, V'amar b'yirmiyah bar Abba mar Shlakish, en talmid hakam rashay leshev b'ta'anit. I'm going back to the other subject. A talmid hakam is not allowed really to, or in a rashay, it's not proper for him to fast. Why? M'penesh m'ma'et b'mlechet shamayim. Because again, he's going to minimize his service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not going to be able to learn with the same strength and the same kohot. Now, the Magid Abraham brings down in Siman Tavkuf Ayin Aleph that some want to say that a Tamir Hakam even, that let's say has certain avonot that he wants to mechaper, so then already he's able to fast. But the Shlach HaKadosh does bring down that it's better for the Tamir Hakam to learn a little more and make extra tefillot, and that's better than fasting, because it could be he's going to take away from his actual limud. That's again, all talking about ta'anit yachid. Okay? Comes the Gemara and continues. We learned in the Mishnah, Ochlin v'shotin v'shachashecha. Okay? We learned in the Mishnah that on the first three fasts that the Yehidim fast, and the first three fasts that the Sibur fast as well, they're allowed to eat at night. The fast does not start until the morning. Now the Gemara discusses the halakha. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Avuna. This is the case of Yahid, Shekibel Alav Ta'anit. An individual, he accepted upon himself a private fast. That she says, Me'etmol. Hare ani yoshev b'ta'anit lemahar. And he made a declaration, I am going to sit in the fast tomorrow. Afidu akal b'shatak kol ala lamod ha-shachar. She says, it doesn't matter, even if he ate the whole night, lemahar mitpalet tefilat ta'anit anin. But the next day, even though you want to argue, you'll say, well, the night is part of the day. Technically, he ate already. No, even so that he ate the whole night, he is able to say aninu in the Amida. Afidu akal gemara b'shatak kol alayla, lemaharu mitpalel Tefilat Ta'anit. Rashi says, the Mahar, actually, no, that's what he said. Lan b'ta'anito. Now let's say what happened was, he fasted the whole day, and now he continued his fast in the subsequent night. Lan b'ta'anito. He went to sleep, still fasting. So now he slept that all night. Eno mitpalel. What's that bet? Okay. Eno mitpalel shel ta'anit. He does not say anenu at that time. What time is that? Look at Rashi. Lemaha lan b'ta'anito be'otot ta'anit shekibel alav shlo acha b'motzeet ta'anito. He didn't end up eating on motzeet ta'anit ve'lan kol oto halayla l'shem ta'anit ad haboker. And you know what? He says, you know what? I'm going to continue my fast. I'm going to fast until the next day. Lemachar em mitpalel tefilat ta'anit. The next morning in Shacharit, he doesn't say anenu. Eno yachol etpalel. Who's the vav? Okay. Eno yachol etpalel anenu. Kodem sheyochal kedel latzit yedei chovat tanit shel laila. You know, technically now he made a new fast upon himself. He fasted another situation at night. Afapi shu yom echad. Even though it's the same day, now in the morning, the night before is considered the same zone. Like it says, "Kedekti vayayir vayibokir yom echad." If he made a new fast upon himself at night, he should be able to say anenu at least in the morning. So why does Ravuna say that he does not say anenu? So it's strange. In the first case, he ate at night. but he can say Anenu in the morning. Here, he fasted at night, mm-hmm. but the next morning, he doesn't say Anenu. So God has to try to understand what's the Sevara of Ravuna. Amar of Yosef, Maika Sevara Ravuna. What is the logic of Ravuna? Svira le, does he hold en mitanim lishaot? Maybe he holds like this. There's no such thing as ta'ani shaot. Which means this guy over here, you accept upon yourself a fast for the evening. That's called ta'ani shaot. That's not a fast, it's a full day. Can't accept upon yourself a small period of time, mm-hmm. for example, fasting at night, that's called ta'anit shaot. That doesn't qualify as a ta'anit. Or dilma, mitanim l'shaot. Or maybe no, maybe you can't accept upon yourself a ta'anit shaot. But, v'amitanim l'shaot, inu mitpadet flat ta'anit. But maybe regarding the anenu situation, you don't say aninu on a tefillat on a ta'ani cha'ot. So Amar le Abaye. So Abaye gives a third option, and this is his answer. Le'olam kasabar avuna mitanim l'sha'ot. Really, old, you can't be mitanim l'sha'ot. V'mitanim l'sha'ot mitpaleh tefillat ta'anit. And really, if you have this ta'ani cha'ot, you can even say tefillat aninu. So what's the case of v'shani hacha? The ikra sha'ot delelia. The situation over here is that he didn't accept this ta'ani sha'ot from the beginning. What did this guy do? He started fasting from the morning, but he accepted that fast already. Then what happened? The night came, in the middle of the night he said, you know what? I'm fasting already. Alright, I'll continue to the morning. What? Ta'ani sha'ot. No. You can do a ta'ani sha'ot, but you have to accept it before the time. You can't accept the ta'anit shaot in the middle of the time, and therefore if this guy would have went right before sunset, and he would have said, you know what, I want to make a ta'anit shaot now. I want to continue fasting this night. I want to go until the next morning. Beautiful, you can make ta'anit shaot. And since you accepted it before the time, you can even say anenu. But what happened with this guy was he didn't have kavanah per se at the time of sunset for ta'anit. He just not b'ta'anito. He went to sleep with his ta'anit, I'll eat tomorrow morning. And in the middle of it, he said, you know what, I'll call it a fast. That's like I said already, a Kabbalah. And therefore, you cannot say anenu in such a case. Let's read Rashi now. Pirush, first wide line, of the shorter wide lines. Pirush, Maika sabar avuna, en mit'anin l'sha'ot kilomar. Hadikamar le'mahar en mitpalet tifla ta'anit, lekach eno mitpalet de Kabbalah ta'anit ze, eno Kabbalah, ve'eno ta'anit klal. One option is, there's no such thing as ta'anit sha'ot. And really, what he's doing at night is nothing. So much so, v'im rotze le'echol v'lesa'ot betoka ta'anit, harishut b'yado. And if you say there's no such thing as ta'anit sha'ot, the guy doesn't have to finish it at night. He's able just to continue to eat if he wants. De'en mekabinit ta'anit l'sha'ot. Kegon zeh shelo kibel ta'anit shel laila zeh metmol. Right? He didn't accept upon himself the ta'anit of Laila from the day before. Kedektani land betanito demashma meila b'shchich. It just got dark by itself. Ubal esod, right? And he came to eat. Ve'amad v'lo achad. Then he changes. He says, "You know what? I'm not going to eat." Kedomar sheyab betato lechol. Originally, when the night came, the guy was having intention to eat. Ad shavar b'shata laila sha'achat or shte sha'ot v'achich nimlach. He said, "You know what? I changed my mind." Ve'land betanito. So that's one explanation that maybe there's no such thing. This is not called a ta'anit sha'ot. Why? Because the guy's kavana was not for ta'anit, and if this doesn't count, or dilma, hay de kamar avuna lemachar emet pletzvat ta'anit, la mishum de emet ta'anit sha'ot, de shem ta'anit alav. Maybe I'll tell you what this guy did. It's really called a fast. Vim rotzel lachzor bo v'detom achar shefchil b'ta'anit, enu yachol. Which means could be. I'll tell you at this point we think what a ta'anit sha'ot is. You can even accept it upon yourself in the middle. This guy's sitting down for dinner. He says, you know what? Piss. I'm gonna continue. We'll call that a ta'anit sha'ot. But what? He has to fast. However, maybe I'll tell you that a ta'anit sha'ot is not chashuv enough to be considered worthy of an anenu. So the first sevara is, this is not a ta'anit sha'ot bechlal. Which it did is not a ta'anit sha'ot. This is in the middle of the night. You decide that you want to make a fast. You can even eat. By the way, forget about anenu. You don't even have a ta'anit. Second side of the coin is no. This is considered a ta'anit. I don't care if you change your mind, and as long as you didn't eat, you're still considered a ta'anit. But what? It's not a significant fast to say anenu. So the Gemara now gives a third interpretation. That's Rashi. The Olam Kasabat Abaye. The Alma the Mitanin the Shaot. Really, you're allowed to do a Tanit Shaot. The Mitanin the Shaot Mitpalitz Vatanit, and you can print Tanin as well. The Acha my Tamim Palitz Vatanit. The Shani Acha Echad the Tana Itmol. The case of where you fasted the day before. Ubalayla Lan Betar the Lo Kibla Elave. See, now it's falling off the first opinion. The first opinion said, no, a Tanit Shaot is even considered if you didn't accept it. So long as you didn't eat, you're okay. This opinion says, no. Ta'anit Shaot has to have an official Kabbalah. And therefore, since you didn't accept it, in the middle of your Ta'anit Shaot, now you accepted it. That's not considered accepted. Just like a regular Ta'anit, you have to accept it the day before. Here also, if you would have accepted it in the beginning of the night, you would have been okay. Shalom kibbal alav Ta'anit Zeh, b'fna atzmo, metmo, k'derech she'al Ta'anit Shaot, v'no hashu et palel alav. Anenu. And therefore, it's not hashuv enough to say anenu in such a case. So we explain Abaye. He says like this, Kolomar, imotu adam ya mekabel al atzmo beferush meetmol. He would have accepted it, let's say, beferush. Or afilu aharet tehilat alayla. Or even right after the night started, letanot ada boker, hu hayav lekayem et kabbalato. He must fulfill his Kabbalah, וגם היה מפלטפה תענית, כי היה מתענית תענית שעות מפלטפה תענית. אמנם, רבונה מדבר באדם שלא קיבל עצמו בפירוש להמשיך את תעניתו עד הבוקר. He didn't explicitly say that I'm going to continue this תענית until the morning. ואילו היה רוצה, היה יכול להפסיק את תעניתו באמצע הלילה ולאכול. See how he's learning? He wants to say, no, according to Abaye, that's not considered a תענית שעות. ופיכך, אף שבאמת לא אכל עד הבוקר, now even though this guy, he was mahmir on himself, he didn't eat till the morning, ותכוון להמשיך בזה תעניתו, אין זה נחשב אפילו תענית שעות, ואינו מפלל תפילת תענית. So again, according to the way they understand שיטת רש"י, they're telling you, it's not a תענית, again, it's either a תענית שעות or it's not a תענית שעות, there's no middle road here. תענית שעות is if you do it the right way. You got to accept it with a Kabbalah before, and you have to then say ענינו as well. If you didn't do that, so what is it? There's no middle road over it. It is or it isn't. So it's not a tiny shot. Not taking to the Abaye, you're allowed to even eat. And that's the way they're saying that she understands. That's the way they're explaining it according to the Bach as well. Okay, so others she thought that are different. Okay, we continue. Comes the Gemara and says, Mor Ukba, Eklal Le Ginzak. Mor Ukba came to the city of Ginzak. Ba'om Minev. So they asked from the rabbi a couple of questions. Number one, they asked, Mitanim L'Sha'ot or En Mitanim L'Sha'ot? The first question, can you be Mitanim? Is there a concept of Tanit Sha'ot or not? Lo Haba Biyadeh. He didn't have the answer. Kan Kanim Shel Nukhrim. The barrels of the Goyim, that they have their wine in it. Now their wine isn't it anymore. It just has the Bela of their wine. Right. Which is the vessels themselves have in their walls absorbed some of their wine. So you allowed to put your wine, now kosher wine, in their empty barrels. You cleaned it out. What's the question? Well, maybe some of the wine of the Goyim, you have the flavor that's going to come out into your wine. And the wine of the Goyim is asur. So he said, katkanim shel nukhrim, asurim umutarim. Look at Rashi. Katkanim shel heres. Actually, they're made out of earthenware. Shemachnisim beim yayin lekiyum. Asur ishtamesh beim. Okay, the Gemara is going to answer that. Lo avabi, I didn't have the answer. Third question they asked him, Bema shimesh Moshe kol shivat yemei miluim. Well, we know Moshe Rabbeinu, the 7 days of miluim, that was the 7 days before the Mishkan actually opened up, where Aharon took over and became the Kohen Gadol. Mm-hmm. So Moshe Rabbeinu brought korbanot during the 7 days prior to the opening of the Mishkan. That was called the 7 days of miluim. So the Gemara wants to know, they asked Mor Ukba, what was he wearing? What type of clothes did he wear? Did he wear the clothes of the Kohen Gadol? He's not a Kohen Gadol. Did he wear regular plain clothes? I mean, he's serving. What exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu wear during the Zayin Yemeh Miluim? Lo Ava Biyadeh. He didn't know that either. Azal B'Sheil B'Midrashah. So Mor Ukba went to the Bet Midrash to get clarity on these cases. Amru Le. To your first question, Hilcheta Mit'anim L'Sha'ot Mit'palim Tefilat Ta'anit. Number one, like we learned from Abaye, there is a concept of Tefilat Ta'anit Sha'ot. And some of that first Ta'anit Sha'ot indeed can say Anin. Vilcheta Kankanim shel nukhrim lachat shenem asar chodesh mutarim. And the kankanim of the goyim, after 12 months, then already we're going to say it is mutara. She says, holech ta'am yayin nesech. Whatever yayin nesech that's in the walls becomes pagum. It becomes distasteful, and therefore no problem. Mutarim belo ilumayim. Abal toch yab chodesh, within 12 months, sarich eiru shloshemi me'et la'et. What does that mean? It means you have to fill the barrels with water, keep the water in the barrel for 24 hours, empty it, fill it up again with water, and do that three consecutive times. That's the way you'd extract the wine from the walls of the barrel. But that's only if you're using it within 12 months. If you're using it after 12 months, you don't have to make eruv, you could just use it straight. Regarding the last question, Bema shimesh Moshe kol zayin yemei ha-miluim v'haluk lavan, with a white robe, white cloak. Rav Kana matni b'haluk lavan she'en lo imra. Now, question, what does it mean, en lo imra? Two interpretations. Either it did not have, like you said, a hem, which means like on the bottom of the garment, you have like a imra, like a cuff. Now, why wouldn't he do that? Because he didn't want to have a hashad on himself. That what could be, they're going to think he's taking some of the money of the Kodesh and he's, you know, putting it in the cuff. He's stealing it. And the Pasuk says, V'itim nikiim mashim Yisrael, yad binaki. So therefore he didn't make any hem on the bottom. Others explain that normally when you make a garment, you make it in components. You make the centerpiece of the garment, then you make the sleeves separately, and you stitch the sleeves and you attach it to the garment. Once already there's stitching, so again there's room to maybe hide something in between the stitches. She'en lo imra, did not have the stitching. There was just a solid piece. Again, for the same purpose. Others say imra is like the tassels that they add to the bottom of the garment. They would normally to adorn a garment, they make it nice, they put the tassels on the bottom. They didn't want to give the impression that that Moshe Rabbeinu, that this was a permanent garment. Moshe Rabbeinu was not the Kohen Gadol. And therefore they made a temporary looking garment, she'en lo imra, that did not have these tassels that were placed on the bottom. Let's see how that she learns now. Rav Kana matni kiayin l'shnab b'chaluk levan she'en bo imra, safa, mitargimin an imra. Safa is like a lip or a hem, like you said, kilomar. Tachuv haya mechut echad, kol ha'chaluk. Meaning it was made from one sewing. They look at begadim shelanu. Not like our garments, not like our garments that we attach these sleeves by sewing it. Why? Because they didn't want to be suspected. Which means maybe in that safa, how are you learning? No, I understand that. Does it mean that he's going to? Yeah, it sounds like he's going to take them. He's going to be able to hide the coins in that area. Therefore, he made a garment that's great, very clean. There's no room for stashing or hiding any coins in any hidden place. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.